So humility is a seed that brings a harvest of promotion. It's a seed. It's a seed. It's a seed that will always correct the future. If the future is not going right, humility will correct it and set it in the path of lifting. In the direction your life is going now, it's not promotion. For whatever, humility can correct that thing. And humility can correct it. The question now is, how do you humble yourself? Psalm 35 verse 13. Do you do it? As for me, David said, see how I did it. When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled my soul with what? Fasting. My prayer returned into my own bosom. That's when he was being attacked by Saul, his enemies. They wanted him there. But when there are things are going wrong for them, I mourn for them, I pray for them, and then for my own soul. My own soul, I humbled it with fast and prayer. For some of us, pride is our besetting sin. We have too much ego. Fasting circumcises the soul and cuts off that foreskin of pride, arrogance, and ego, and rebellion. If you do not have a punishment to give to a rebel, send him to fast. Anyway, if he does it with the right attitude, he will come out better. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 to 23. Yeah. I proclaim their fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. You see that word, afflict ourselves. Show another translation, you see that we might humble ourselves before our God. Fasting is the scriptural means to humble yourself. And thereby the Ahava canal, I give orders for all of us to fast and do what? And humble ourselves before our God. I have many scriptures to give you on this, but I need to stop. I want to show you something else. It will even help you understand this one, why fasting can humble the soul. But just before I do that, I need to say this. There is a national day of repentance in Israel. It's called the Day of Atonement. Even here, we remember, we also celebrate it. That day, everybody fast, because it's a day of self-humbling. Everybody humbles themselves because they're trying to get God's favor for the next year, 1 year. It's the holiest day in Israel. And the way they do that humbling is by fasting. Do you know that there was a bad king in Israel called Ahab? And Elijah actually went and declared that he was going to die. He said, after he killed Naboth and took his vineyard, you know what he did? He refused to eat, went in sackcloth and fasted. And God told Elijah, he said, go back. Haven't you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Go and tell him that he will not, that the punishment. The punishment will now come in the days of his children, not his days. Yet he was one of the worst kings of Israel. And because of that, God allowed him to stay on the throne. Most bad kings don't last. If you read the story of some 3 months, some 2 years, some 7 years, some 11. You know, that guy stayed on the throne for up to 22 years. If you watch the city of Nineveh, when Jonah preached to them and told them 40 days, how did they humble themselves before God? They declared a national fast. And God overruled the judgment he wanted. And they stayed for extra 200 and something years before they were later judged. Another generation that got bad again. And obviously they didn't know what to do. 200 and something years. Everybody say it with me. I now know how to humble my soul. I now know how to humble myself before God. I do it with self-denial. Now, I'm going to read the scripture for you, and I'm sure now you will know what it means. How to bring healing to a nation. A nation like Nigeria. We want to see this country healed. God heal this nation and bring revival and turn it around. Watch the secret. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Let's read 13 first. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, start from verse 13. Give me King James. If I shut up heaven that there is no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, like a locust army devouring Nigeria now, okay. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, and if command locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence, that could be Ebola or any other type of pestilence, among my people, if bad things are happening in a nation, in a society, then verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray. Number two is pray. Number three is seek my face. Number four is what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will what? Heal their land. The healing of a nation, the first requirement for it is that God's people in that nation must what? Humble themselves. How are they supposed to do it? Actually, the literal thing God was saying there, if my people in that land will fast, declare a fast, and then add prayer, and then turn back and seek my face, then of course they need to turn away from their own sins. Repentance is always involved if we're going to see a revival. But fasting is the first condition there. If you go to Joel 2, you see what I'm saying again. I will hear from heaven, and I will hear their land. The problem Nigeria is in now cannot be solved with casual praying. We need fasting. It's an ancient weapon that has never failed. Let's bring it back. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? It has never failed. Because I want to go home, I wanted to show you 12 things that fasting does. Let me show you this one. Go to the book of Daniel, I think it's 1 verse 8. When they go to Babylon, Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defy himself with the king's meat. There are two kinds of abstinence that Daniel got involved with. One is all those luxurious things that, because they were brought into the palace, they were allowed to eat also some things, the same thing that the king eats. But the problem, those things were offered to idols. The processes that they passed them. Daniel refused to eat them. For the whole number of years they were in training, he refused to eat them. The guy was living what is called a fasted life. He actually made a request that they should be giving them vegetables. That's what is called the Daniel fast, where you are eating just vegetables and maybe juice and fruits. And all of that. And stay away from all this sweet stuff and all this enjoyment that your body normally likes. Even that, he did it for 21 days. He brought down the prince of Persia. Okay, but I'm not talking about the demonic power now. I want to tell you something else he did. They made this decision wanted to go down to where he said, and as for these children, God gave them understanding in science, in arts, and Daniel particularly had understanding in the visions of God. There are three revelation gifts. One is called word of wisdom. He sees the future. Actually, it makes you highly prophetic. Word of knowledge that can show you the present and all that. And I'm not just talking about picking it. There's word of knowledge where you can pick it by intuition. There's seeing it. There are revelation gifts. And then there's discerning of spirit that help you discern what type of spirit that is in operation. Like, enable you to see God, see Jesus, see angels. Can also help you see demonic oppression. Can also help you discern the human spirit. Because sometimes people are lying and they are whatever. And that gift can help you tell. Happens to me a lot. And sometimes I just keep quiet. But God has also taught me, you know, the management of these resources. It's not always to embarrass people. But there are times. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill. So, fasting opens up revelation. It opens up wisdom. It opens up revelation gifts. It opens up as mega intellectual resources. Do you know that even your brain power improves as just intellectually? For example, students that have this practice of fasting one day a week, their academic performance goes much higher. You start operating in a much higher level than even your colleagues. It's a mystery. If you want to be among those inventing things, innovating, coming up with solutions to all kinds of things, you notice that almost every problem they will have in Babylon, he will have the solution. When the king dreams a dream, he will be the one to interpret it. And this would definitely bring any career person promotion. You know, be the spirit of innovation and wisdom and creativity and understanding. And then God gave them knowledge, skill in all learning and all wisdom, and then he had understanding in all visions and dreams. What a wisdom. That's the man that saw tomorrow. He wrote a book that was Old Testament version of the book of Revelation. He saw to the first and second coming of Christ, this guy, from that time, 700 years before Christ's birth. Fasting. One of the benefits of fasting is that it breaks any form of demonic stronghold in the lives of your own life or the lives of people in the church, lives of people. A lot of chains will fall. You get the brethren to hook up into this. A lot of chains will fall off. Addictions, besetting sins, smoking addiction, drug addiction, sexual addiction, pornography addiction, all kinds of addiction, alcohol addiction, they will break. Let me give you another one to think about. If you want to overcome temptations, if you want to have the power to overcome Satan, fasting is the key. Jesus did not do it without fasting. That's what he went in wilderness. Fasting prepared him. Fasting does not stop temptation from coming, but it equips you to overcome it. Fasting does not stop Satan from coming, but it equips you to overcome it. You saw the case of the demon oppressed boy, Matthew chapter 17. And you can see Jesus in wilderness. He equips you to overcome him, to overcome Satan. Fasting equips you to overcome temptation. I'm going to end with something I'm going to illustrate another time, because there's still so much in this. There's still so much here. If you want to carry special anointing, you want to carry the tangible power of God, fasting is what unlocks it. The gift of the Holy Spirit is an endowment. It's like money in the bank. Fasting cashes that power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an endowment. That's what I mean. Fasting unlocks the power of it. It's like potential energy. Fasting unlocks its kinetics. Praying in the Spirit also does that. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit by John. In Luke chapter 4, put up verse 14. The Bible says he was led of the Spirit. Now the man just got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing the Holy Spirit is telling him to do is to go and fast. Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Then, when he finished fasting, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. If you check, you can even show them the place. He went filled with the Spirit into the wilderness, but returned with the power of the Spirit. There are two different things. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out favor of him throughout all the region, because miracles broke out. Yes, find me the verse where he went first. Verse what? Verse 1, yes. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. He had Holy Spirit baptism, just like many of us have got. Fasting will bring out something else there. Because he said, you shall be baptized with Holy Ghost and with power. Some say fire. There is an and. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. 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 You know, until the fuel you have bought from the filling station combust, it does not create locomotion. It's combustion that produces locomotion, not just fuel. Drinking fuel is not enough to do it. That's what is going on here. Potential energy and kinetic energy are on two different levels. A gun that is loaded and a gun that is fired. So, baptism of the Holy Spirit, you load. With fasting, you unlock the power. Because there are people that are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you see every day. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, demons are slapping me. With Holy Ghost baptism. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. Look at that statement. My preaching, my teaching, are not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration, look, Paul said there are two things. In demonstration of what? And what? So you see, there are two things there. It is the same thing. Why is he saying separating them? Why is Jesus always separating them? Okay, look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with what? It is the same thing. Why everywhere in the Bible is separated? Holy Ghost and with what? You can see, according to Luke 4, Holy Ghost before fasting, power after fasting. Holy Ghost before fasting, power after fasting. And Paul went to Arabia. He spent 28 days fast. That's what he did. He said, I have the two. That I demonstrate in the demonstration of the spirit and of the power. Now, I wanted to know, because many years ago I saw this and I knew there was a difference. I wanted to have both of them in my life. But then I wanted to know, if somebody starts demonstrating them, how can I tell when he's demonstrating the spirit? And how can I tell when he switched to demonstrating power? And it's very clear, demonstration of the spirit is utterance gift. Speaking in tongues, prophecy, and interpretation of tongues. Here it is. And you can see tongues everywhere. But power demonstration. By this time tomorrow, like the prophetic, this so-so of bread will be sold for this. Power demonstration. An axe head fell inside water. That's the law of gravity. Iron is supposed to sink. He cut wood and threw it in there, and the axe head started floating. It's called walking of miracles. You want those other type of gifts. You don't just want to have the gift. Because the Lord explained to me that time I was asking him, he said there are two kinds of prophets. There are those that speak it, and there are those that have the power to cause it to happen. He said there is a difference between a Moses and a Hosea. A Hosea can prophesy but never does signs. But a Moses does not only say, thus said the Lord. Most of the time when he finished talking, the next thing happens. You can see him dividing the Red Sea. You can see him. He told the people, okay, because you are crying to the Lord, tomorrow God will give you food, meat. Because they were complaining about manna. Say, every day bread. Is this the only thing we eat? That we were in Egypt, we missed the garlics and the onions, and we used to eat chicken there. Moses, okay. Tomorrow you eat meat till it starts coming out of your nose. Somebody said, even if God will set a table in the wilderness, where will he get there? Anyway, the rest is history, because you know what happened. And east wind went forth and carried all the birds from the Red Sea and blew all of them. When they got to the camp of Israel, the wind lost its strength. They started falling. Because it's a programmed wind. They fell all over their camp. People ate chicken. They were vomiting. Can you see what I'm talking about? Somebody just told you, I just lost a job. You configure 3 new jobs in 3 days, in 1 week. This week, before the week ends. How many would like to have that kind of power in their mouth? Lift your hands. You don't know why we fast. Lift your hands again. Pray in the spirit just for a few minutes. Let the fire of God touch your tongue. Not just preacher. You will just carry preaching. You won't just talk. Power to bring it to pass. Zokaraba, hakaraba baba. Zokerebo. By this time next week, you will land the best job in town. He said, I've set you over men and women. I've set you over kingdom to pull out, to bring out, and to build and to establish. It can work in both directions. He said, for I watch over my word to perform it. My servant is out. He said, go home. be it unto you according to your word. The power of it is done. As you say it, you see it. It's fast a prayer. Brings it. There's something, what is why I hear about some pastors that are looking for charm or looking for whatever. Lazy people. Some of them are not even born again. Lazy. You see, the things of God cause the same thing. They have not changed. They have not gone up in price. They have not gone down. There's no inflation in the realm of the spirit. So pay the price. Buy real gold. You buy it on your knees. You buy it through self-denial. I said, after this weekend though, your ministry has changed. And I'm not just talking. I'm not just preaching. I'm declaring what God is saying. Because there is a lot of rain that is falling right now. After this weekend, there is a revolution that will erupt in your ministry. In the name of Jesus, that city will be too small for you. That territory will be too small for you. You will expand to the right. You will expand to the left. You will expand to the front. You will expand to the back. In the name of Jesus. There is anointing to preach. There is anointing to teach. But there is anointing to bring to pass what has been taught. Hold somebody's hand. Pray for that person. Fresh fire. Baptism of fire. Baptism of power. Baptism of power. Baptism of power. Baptism of fire. Baptism of fire. Baptism of fire. Shuka bakaroro. Shuka bakaroro. They might bear the body with you. And when the Holy Ghost came, that anointing of Moses, which is prophetic anointing, came on them. They began to prophesy. Two men did not show up for the nation. They were in their camp. But the power fell on them in their camp. As we pray, this will hit every Domino City pastor. It doesn't matter where they are. Whether they are in the US or in Canada or in Russia or wherever, it will hit them. There remained two of them. The name of one was Eldad, the name of the other was Eldad. And the Spirit fell on them there. And they were of them that were written, but were not out in the tabernacle. They didn't come to church, but they prophesied in their camp. Somebody hear what I'm saying? And so Joshua ran to report them. He said, ordination is going to hell. Somebody who didn't show up is collecting anointing for himself. And Moses now gave him an answer that he wanted to show them that verse. Envious thou for sake. He said, are you envious? Didn't you know God wants to put his spirit on all his children so that all of them will be prophets?
Moses said unto him, "Envious thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit upon." If God is willing to put it on all his people, how can people who are ministers, lift up your hands, that prophetic anointing, you know the one I'm talking about? Can't you see, listen before you pray. Can't you see there are fake people out there calling people out of their money, calling car number, calling state number, but there is a real word of knowledge. There is a real word of wisdom. There is a real anointing to see. This is not fake. The real one, and it's going to bring a blessing on the land. Lift up your hand. It's going to come upon you. Your eyes will start seeing. You're going to start operating on a higher dimension of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Hey!
Shall be
That thing is reversed. Your system is restored back exactly as God created it. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my spirit, says the Lord. Oh, by my spirit. If you had a wound on your leg, whether it's dislocation or any part of your leg, stand up and move it, and you are going to be healed instantly. Move it. Move it. Do what you could not do before. If you can't bend, bend. If you can't squat on it, squat on it. And you'll be healed instantly.
By my spirit, says the Lord.
By my spirit,
says the Lord.
We are entering an unusual season in God. What is going to happen in this hour, in this season that we are entering into? Pay the price for it. Get rid of sin. Lay hold of righteousness. Lay hold of humility. Become a man of prayer. Become a man of His presence. The days have changed. We're in a new season. There's a new wine coming upon the earth, said the Lord. But I need clean vessel to put it in. I need clean vessel. Lift up your hands, say, Lord, take out of me anything that will hinder you in this hour. Prepare me for that good work. Prepare me. Lord, prepare me. A sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Be a sanctuary for you, Lord. Prepare me a sanctuary, pure. Negative supernatural and take them out. Take them out. It takes care of the positive supernatural and pave the way for the Holy Spirit to work. It's called preparing the way for the Lord so that the glory of God will be revealed. If the Holy Spirit will function, intercession prepares the way for him. It's intercession that forerun revival. If intercession that forerun the move of God, then takes care of man. You see, the flesh is the problem of man. The fallen nature. Prayer disciplines the flesh. It brings it in check so that disobedience, rebellion, stinginess, self-centeredness, all those things that make us disobey God so that God's will is not done is controlled by prayer. When you pray for the people, the flesh is brought under check. But something more than praying for the people is praying with them, getting them to pray. When you pray for people, you've done well. But when you pray with them, you've done better. You see, prayer checks set up. It checkmates it. Prayer unlocks the way for the Holy Spirit to function. There are things that grieve the Holy Spirit. There are things that hinder him. Prayer clears the way. And then prayer checks met the flesh. Which is why man failed to obey God. It's why we are not aligned to his will. Prayer aligns your life into God's will. You want to please God? Prayer is what will help you to do it. May I use this opportunity to conclude this teaching tonight by leaving you with something I don't want you to ever forget. And Holy Spirit, write this with your own finger on the tables of their hearts. Write it on their minds. That till the day they finish this race, they will never forget this truth. It will be one of the golden secrets that will guide them and help them to live victoriously. Live the life that pleases you. Live the life that will bring honor and glory to your name and fulfill their ministry. See, there are three secrets about living the Christian life. There are three plates. You need to know this. One of the benefits of fasting. You see, there are three plates, three secrets relating to Christian life. The number one is the power of the Christian life is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, the life we are called to live is impossible. If this were to be possible, Jesus wouldn't have told his disciples to wait. If ministry is possible without the Holy Spirit, he would have told them, go ahead and start. The Christian life is literally impossible without the Holy Spirit. The power that makes this aircraft called the new creation take off is the Holy Spirit. The power that makes holy living possible is the Holy Spirit. The power that makes righteousness your nature is the Holy Spirit. The power that makes victory over sin possible is the Holy Spirit. The power that gives victory over temptation is the Holy Spirit. Then there is the contrast. The greatest enemy of the Holy Spirit is not Satan, is the flesh. The Holy Spirit takes care of Satan. He can take care of him. Of course, the Bible said the anointing breaks the yoke and he can take care of the works of Satan. But Satan has learned how to stop the Holy Spirit. He walks through the flesh. It is man's fallen nature. Man's fallen nature. Everything the Holy Spirit wants to do for you, in you, the flesh opposes. The flesh opposes God's will for your life. The flesh is making sure that you are not living up to the standard God wants. The flesh is making sure that the destiny God has called you to, you won't fulfill up to 5% of it. See where your ministry is. It's not near where God wants it to be. Do you know the problem? It's not Satan. It's the flesh. The flesh makes you prayerless. The flesh will not allow you to study the Bible. flesh will create hunger for every other thing except the things that will help you. The flesh won't allow you to live holy. The flesh won't allow you to be. You know why? You sometimes eat your the flesh. The flesh don't want you to be a faithful person. The flesh don't want you to be faithful to your wife. You don't want you to be faithful to God. The flesh, a fallen nature. And if you don't get the flesh taken care of, the Holy Spirit will be grieved all your life with you. He won't be able to do what he wants to do. Because the flesh stops him. Galatians 8 verse 7. No, Galatians, Romans 8 verse 7. I need to go. Romans 8 verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can. It can't even do it. It's not subject to the law of God, and they can't. This is the flesh. So, look at the next verse. So, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can they remove that board so that people can see? So, they that are in the flesh, you can't please God. The flesh won't allow you to walk by faith. It's full of doubt. It's full of unbelief. It's lazy. It only wants to do all the things that annoy God. Do you see why people don't walk in the power of God? So now we are in a big dilemma. Here is the Holy Spirit that helps us accomplish everything God wants to do. Here is the flesh that stops the Holy Spirit. Maybe I should show you another scripture. Galatians 5 verse 16 and 17. Please fast. The flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit. This I say to you, walk in the spirit, and what happened? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. 18. If you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Go back to 16. Give me NIV, if possible, another translation. NIV, let's try NIV. I say, live by the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Verse 17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature, they are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Now, here is what settles this conflict and tilts it in a position where the Holy Spirit is the dominant power. It's called fasting. Fasting is subduing the flesh so that the spirit will have preeminence. You see now what happens. Fasting is the key to subduing the flesh. I'll give you a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read from verse 25, but it's actually 27 that I'm after. But read from verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Yes, go back to that one. NIV. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that we fade away, but we do it for eternal prize, our own. It's a way to discipline the flesh. But it's not by your own strength. Watch verse 26. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. I'm not boxing the air. Verse 27. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. So that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I want to win the prize. But if you really think King James, he said, I put my body under subjection. I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest By any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see, so you go to Latin America, you see people during Passion Week, Easter, they carry whips. They are beating themselves till their back is bleeding and all that. They think that's what would happen. When they find out the hunger for immorality, all the things are still there. What actually keeps the flesh under check is self-denial. Fasting. You want to be a holy man and a powerful man, learn to live a fasting. Make fasting a regular practice. Apart from this one, we are declaring on week, that one day in a week you fast. Fast a day a week. Even if you break it in the night or whatever, but fast a day a week, it can help you keep your system. Because, you see, whatever you feed is one that will overrule. You know, a man was into dog fights and he kept winning. And so, what happened is that people will come and bet, he will bring the dogs. People will bet that this one will win. So, he will bet on this one, then this one wins. So, when the people see that this one is winning, they will move their money next fight and bet on this one. Then the man will shift and bet on this one. And this, the other one he bets on will win. And people didn't know he made so much money. Another guy who wasn't doing so well now decided to go and be his apprentice. He said, I want you to teach me the secret of this state. So one day, he told him, the secret is not found during the fight. It's what happens before the fight. I want to come and watch what I do. The whole week, when this dog has a fight, and this is the one he's betting on, you know what he does? He stabs the other one. Stabs him the whole week. And feed this one the whole week. So when he brings them out, they fight. This guy wins. So when people bet on this one and say they are very sure that this is the stronger dog, you know what he will do? He will stab this one and start feeding this one. So they come out for fight. This one wins. You see, between the flesh and the spirit, which one do you want to be winning? The spirit. So serve the flesh and feed the spirit. First, feed the spirit. For what the spirit wants, every desire the spirit has, are the things that will take you to your destination. Things that will take you to the top. Serve the flesh and feed the spirit. If you start feeding the flesh and gratifying it, it destroys your destiny for you. Fasting is one of the secrets of victorious Christian living. Let nobody ever confuse you about that. And praying in the spirit is one of them. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. As you pray in the Spirit, the appetites of the fallen nature gradually is mortified. It gets to a point, it is quenched. As you fast, that's what happens. After a while, you get to some days, it quenches. For example, when you start a fast, your stomach will be fighting, will be reacting. After the first few days, it balances, it relaxes, it releases you. But the guy is over pampered with food. He will be crying like he will die if you don't give me food today. No, he won't. He's an over pampered child. The flesh is a terrible master, but a very good servant, especially the body. A very good servant. Actually, it's not just a master, it's a dictator, if you allow it. And the only way to overthrow any dictator is by violence. No dictator goes by pleading. Not a Saddam, not Satan, not Gaddafi, not a Hitler. It's by what? Violence. So that's the radical step you need to take. These are the three aspects of the flesh you need to bring under subjection. the I will. That your stubborn will that always wants to disobey God. What you want is God's will, what He wills, not what you will. As long as you live by I will, you're a rebel. The other is I think. No, it's not what you think, it's what the word says. That's what it's called, renew your mind. It's not what you think. What you think is inconsequential. It's what the word of God says. Make the word of God the final authority in your life. In any decision of life, once the scripture, at least two or three scriptures, establishes that, let it settle the case. Don't argue with the Bible. Don't argue with God. You see? Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways are acknowledging. And it will direct your path. Spirit-controlled living. The last is, I feel. No. It's how God feels. If I do this, will He please Him? Will He be happy? Not how I feel. You see? Because this I feel is why we get into a lot of emotional hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, and we do a lot of nonsense. No. Not that. I feel how He feels. So, I submit my will to your will, Lord. I submit my feelings to your feelings. I want to be a man that pleases you. I want to bring you pleasure all my life. I submit my thoughts to the authority of your word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against it. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your heart, in your sight, O Lord my God. Lo, I come, as it is written of me, to do your will, O God, for the law of God is within my heart. You see, this power of Christian life is the Holy Spirit. It is not the anointing of Paul, it is the anointing within. That's the prayer I pray every day. I prayed it this morning, prayed it yesterday. It keeps me strong. I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me afresh today. So that I will be able to manifest God's character, His nature. Because humility, meekness, gentleness, integrity, faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit flows when I'm filled with the Spirit within. I say, fill me afresh today. Fill me with your presence. Live out the life of Christ through me today. I don't just want the power of God on me. I want the nature of God functioning, flowing through me. I'm not able to live this life by my own self. I can't. Just like I can't do this ministry without the anointing upon. I can't live this life without the anointing within. So every day, I rely on the Holy Spirit. And when I talk to Him, the oil rises to overflow because this thing drains. And when it drains to a point, the flesh rises. So if you are the one giving to anger, the anger comes back. If you are the one giving to gossip, the gossip comes back. Certain things rise. If you are the one giving to loss, you notice that everything that passes, you are looking. No. That's why we have devotion. That's why we have studied the word. That's why we have daily devotion. You know why? Anointing within. It's different from studying to preach. This is fellowship with the Lord. He fills me. Any branch that abides in me, Jesus said, it will bear much fruit. So Lord, I bring my will, I bring my emotion, I bring my mind, my thoughts under subjection. I ask that the Holy Spirit will fill me. Because that's what verse 16 said, Galatians 5. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just maintain a Spirit-filled life. And I don't mean function in power. I mean be filled with the Holy Spirit daily. Walk in dependence on Him. Acknowledge Him. Learn to worship. Learn to pray. Learn to fellowship with God. If that's where the power for Christian living comes from. That's where it comes from. There are two anointings. There's anointing within. That's for bearing the fruit of the Spirit, for living the Christian life. Then there's anointing upon. That's for manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. That anointing upon is for ministry. You see? is for prophecy, for healing, for preaching, for other things you do in ministry. The other one is for walking in love, for being humble, for being patient, for being self-controlled. That one, it comes out of a walk with God, out of fellowship with Him, out of feeding your spirit with the Word. You feed the spirit, you serve the flesh. Lift up your hands. Father, please explain this truth to every one of them. There are a lot of failures in the body today because people don't know how to walk in the spirit. Father, explain this truth to them. They will find that ancient truth that has never failed. It works in my life. I know that it's true. The key to victorious Christian living. Let it be put in the hands of every one of these pastors. They will live it. They will know it experientially. And then they can teach it to God's people. And help them obtain a life of victory. Father, I thank you for it. We bless you for tonight. Thank you for all your thoughts and giving us today. Glory be to your holy name. Glorify your name. Tomorrow morning we can get into the subject fully.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Obwele. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900, 0805-315-3823.